The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, Buffalo Bills fans, welcome back to Buffalo Rumblings Q&A. My name is Matt Warren. I'm the editor-in-chief of BuffaloRumblings.com. We're back for our second episode, and we've got some brand new questions from you listeners to get to today. Thanks so much for listening to our debut episode. The numbers have been really good for it, and I look forward to continuing to answer questions on Buffalo Rumblings Q&A into the future. If you have a question for Buffalo Rumblings Q&A and me, Matt Warren, I want you to give us a call. Our phone number is 716-508-0405. You can also send us questions at rumblingsq&a with the word and spelled out on Twitter. We'll be answering a couple questions from Twitter today, and we've got a couple voicemails for you to go through. It's Thanksgiving week, and so I do have one thing I wanted to talk about that all Bills fans will kind of understand, and that's the playoff picture articles we've been writing on BuffaloRumblings.com. Every time I post one and the Bills, I know, they're 3-7. People think that they're way out of it. I get it. But as we're looking at it in the, you know, in the hunt graphic on Thanksgiving, I wanted folks to know how close the Bills were to a playoff spot. I don't think they're going to make it into a playoff spot, but the fact that they're only two games out of that sixth and final playoff spot is meaningful for a lot of Bills fans. And I don't just mean because they're not looking forward to the draft. I mean, you can really still be in competition for the next couple weeks. Now, if they get blown up by the Jaguars and then turn around and lay another egg the next week, it's pretty clear that they're going to be way out of the contention by then. But even if you've given up on the season, that doesn't mean everybody else has. And of course, there is still stuff to play for in 2018. So that's why we post those. And also because I really like Jim Mora GIFs.
Thank you. My name is Paul, and I am calling from Boston. And my question is, given that he's been largely a disappointment and he's a signee from the last management team, what are the advantages and disadvantages of keeping Charles Clay around? And will they maybe start phasing him out and bringing in younger tight ends to really start developing a position that seems that has been lacking?
Question, Paul. Clay is in the fourth year of his five-year deal he signed in the 2015 offseason when he was entering the prime of his career. Coming away from the Miami Dolphins, the Bills had to give him a little bit of an inflated contract so that the Dolphins wouldn't match it, and they did need a tight end at the time. But with $4.5 million left on his base salary next year, I just don't see a way that the Bills are going to keep him around in 2019 when he's 30 years old. They would save $4.5 million by releasing him, and I think that's probably the path they're going to take as they overhaul this offense. Whether that means they sign somebody in free agency or go to the draft, I still think they're going to replace him. Jason Kroom and the rest of the tight ends on their roster haven't really shown anything to be super excited about. Logan Thomas is a free agent, so it's a very nebulous position, kind of like the rest of the offense in general. you look at his stats in his time as a Bill, he hasn't missed that, to be honest, with the way people talk about him as being all this injured and often injured. He hasn't really missed a whole ton of time. He's received a ton of targets, 77, 87, and 74 in his first 3 years with the Bills. And he's had right around 50 catches each season for 500 yards. So it's not like he's been a complete disappointment. And he's been leading the team in receptions too. But the Bills can definitely get younger. They can get more reliable and dynamic at that position and have somebody that can grow with Josh Allen instead of Clay, who does deal with injuries a lot, even if he doesn't miss games, and who can be available for Josh Allen in practice every day if he grows into hopefully the franchise quarterback. So yeah, I think they're definitely going to get younger and move on. If you look at the free agent market, there's not a ton of guys that would come in and be able to be game changers, especially if you're looking for somebody that can grow in the long term with Allen. Jared Cook is 32. He's got a fair number of catches this year and is over 500 yards receiving already in just 10 games, but he's 32. You look a little bit further down the list and guys that are, say, over 400 yards receiving this year in 2018 are not very prevalent. You've got C.J. Uzuma from the Bengals, Jeff Hoyerman from the Broncos, and Jeff Swaim from the Cowboys are all going to be unrestricted free agents. And they're all in that 25 to 26-year-old range, kind of entering the prime of their careers, but nobody really game-changing in that group. You've got Jesse James from the Steelers, who's averaging 15 yards per reception. There's names, but I don't think any of them is kind of your slam dunk, top flight NFL tight end free agent that the Bills might be looking to throw a whole ton of money at. If they do look toward the 2019 NFL draft, there's a couple tight ends that are getting first round attention. Albert O from Missouri is projected right into the middle of the first round, while Iowa's Noah Fant is toward the end of that first round pool. Obviously, they could both move up and down during the pre-draft process. After that, it falls off, and you're looking at a Caden Smith from Stanford or Irv Smith from Alabama or a couple other guys, but they're all different types of prospects, and we'll get into those guys as we move into draft season at Buffalo Rumblings.
Yeah, my name is Dave. I'm calling from the state of Virginia, and I'm just curious, do we still have that punter Bjorquez? Or do we re-sign Schmidt and let Bjorquez go? That was my only question. Thanks.
Hi, Dave, and thanks for the call. Yeah, the Bills do still have Corey Bjorquez on their roster, but he's on injured reserve with his shoulder injury that he suffered when he made that ill-fated pass earlier in the year on what he thought was a fake field goal, but nobody else did. They actually have another punter on injured reserve as well, Corey Carter, who tore his ACL in the preseason when he came down and his plant leg was hit by a rushing defender. So they have three punters on their roster right now, including Colton Schmidt. At some point this offseason, they're going to have to choose who they want to move forward with. Looking at their 2019 roster, Schmidt only signed a one-year deal, so for right now, he's not going to be back in training camp, but Carter and Bjorquez are both under contract for 2019. Depending on Carter's recovery from his torn ACL, we should see them both right around mini camp, training camp, things like that. And they'll probably re-sign or sign somebody until Carter is healthy and then go in a different direction once Carter is cleared to return. And then we'll have a full-on punter competition in Buffalo, just what the fans are begging for. We're going to take a quick break to thank our sponsor, but we'll be right back. Thank you. Our next question comes from Twitter, where you can find us at RumblingsQ&A with the word and spelled out in the middle of that. RumblingsQ&A. And it's from Taylor, who asks, if the second half of our schedule was the first half, would we be talking rebuild or back-to-back playoff appearances? I think most folks have been talking about a rebuild since Sean McDermott took over, and especially since Brandon Bean got here and started clearing cap space. But I understand the question. The second half of the Bills schedule is the easiest in the NFL. The first half is one of the hardest. So that makes a lot of sense. If you look at the remaining teams on the Bills roster right now, I think of the last seven, only one has a winning record, which is the New England Patriots, who we'll see in week 16 or something like that. You got the Jaguars, who are tanking, the Jets, who are doing horribly and probably going to lose their coach. You see them twice. You see the Dolphins, who are at 5-5. So there's just not a lot of good teams remaining on the Bills' schedule. It's why the Bills should still be considered in the playoff hunt, like we talked about at the top of the show. But I think we would still probably be talking about back-to-back playoff appearances and then kind of a collapse at the end of the year, which might even be worse for Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. So they should probably consider themselves lucky that the schedule kind of settled the way it did, with the really tough stretch of the schedule early on in the year, when Bills fans at least understand that this team is rebuilding, especially with a rookie quarterback and a rookie offensive coordinator and a complete overhaul of the offensive line. So you can at least point to like that rebuild as part of the process in the beginning of the season. And I just used process really unironically. I'm sorry about that. I wasn't trying to quote Sean McDermott there, but I do think you're going to see some signs of life down the stretch as the Bills, who really do have a lot to play for, even if they're eliminated from the playoffs or have that really far outside chance of making the playoffs, they have a lot to play for 2019. And I think you're going to see some signs of life from them against some teams that are really struggling down the stretch. Thanks for the question, Taylor. And you can follow me at Matt Rich Warren on Twitter too, in addition to our show account. Let's take another question from Twitter today. Matt Meyer asks, is Matt Barkley on our roster as a backup next year? Probably. I'll say that the Bills should be motivated to keep him around, not just because of his performance in his first start as a member of the Bills on just six practices, but they need kind of that veteran presence that they didn't have once they traded AJ McCarron. And Barkley, admittedly, is kind of into that backup mode of his career. He understands the situation, and I think he'd be a good guy to have around. He's been with so many teams and the other quarterbacks that he would be ready to come in if he needed to be, and could also provide kind of some of that guidance for Josh Allen. Matt also asks, is Derek Anderson our QB's coach next year? I find that highly unlikely, considering he's never done that at any level before. Most guys that come on to be a quarterback's coach go through the process of being something like an offensive quality control coach or an assistant coach somewhere a little bit further down the line. And David Culley doesn't have any experience as a quarterback's coach really in the last 30 years, but Sean McDermott hired him to do that job. So you would think that he seems pretty comfortable in that role, especially because he survived the transition from Rick Dennison to Brian Daboll. So I think the most likely path for Derek Anderson is to re-retire. If he wants to coach, the Bills certainly could have a spot for him, and it would be a nice addition to their kind of sphere of influence around Allen as he goes into his first full season as the Bills starter, but I don't think it'll be his quarterback's coach. Thanks again, Matt, for the question. And that was delivered to us on Twitter at RumblingsQ&A with the word and spout.
Hey, Matt, this is Anthony calling from Albany, New York. My question for you on this week's podcast, do you think that Lorenzo Alexander and Kyle Williams are going to come back for the 2019 season? Would love to get your thoughts. Thanks.
Thanks for the question, Anthony. And before I answer his question, I wanted to let you know that Anthony is the host of one of our podcasts here at Buffalo Rumblings. It's called the Believe Podcast, B-I-L-L-I-E-V-E. And you can find it on iTunes and Stitcher, and it's hosted on SoundCloud, so you can download it for free there, and all of your podcast apps and things like that. But he and John Boccacino do a great job twice a week during the season, breaking down what just happened in the game and what's going to happen in the upcoming game. So make sure you follow Believe on your podcast app. Anthony asked about Lorenzo Alexander and Kyle Williams. And it's interesting to note, because of their advanced age, they're both 35 years old, just how many snaps the two of them have played this year. Kyle Williams has played 456 snaps combined between defense and special teams, and Lorenzo Alexander has played 452 snaps. So, I mean, remarkably similar numbers. They're a little bit different in terms of how much they play on defense versus special teams, with Kyle Williams playing almost 64% of the snaps on defense this year. But you know, they're both valuable members to the team for sure. And Alexander's been playing defensive tackle reps and linebacker reps in addition to all the stuff he does on special teams. And of course, Williams and Alexander are both big leaders in the locker room. So I think both would be welcomed back with open arms by the Buffalo Bills. It just comes down to whether they want to keep playing. And of course, the financial piece of it. Both are going to be free agents at the end of the year. And while Williams was re-signed on a one-year contract for this current season, it took him a while to kind of make up his mind after the Bills made the playoffs for the first time. Alexander is a little bit different because he received a contract extension a few years ago. And it's unclear whether he's going to want that kind of one-year kind of low deal based on his production and the number of snaps he's played over the last few years. But any team that brings him in is going to want to hedge a little bit against his age. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if both of them were back on one-year deals that were helpful to the Bills' bottom line and helped keep some stability at their positions and on the defense. But Williams has lost a little bit of a step. I don't know if Lorenzo Alexander has necessarily, but Williams definitely has. I mean, coming down from where he was, he's still a very good player and could be a very important part of the team going forward. But even if his snaps, say, flip-flop with Harrison Phillips, and Phillips goes from 40% to 60%, and Williams goes down to that 40%, I think he could still be a valuable member of the team. And so it's really going to be up to how they feel at the end of the year. I would imagine that Williams is going to retire, and this is his last season. And I'd also imagine that Alexander will want to play, but whether they'll be able to come to terms on another year of a contract is kind of up in the air. So thanks for the question, Anthony. And again, you can follow Anthony at Anth Marino, A-N-T-H Marino on Twitter, and follow his podcast. Go download it. It's called Believe. That's going to bring us to the end of this week's episode of Buffalo Rumblings Q&A. You can follow us on Twitter at Rumblings Q&A with the word "and" spelled out. Leave us a question there. We'll include at least one of them next week in our weekly Q&A mailbag. Please call in, leave us a voicemail at 716-508-0405. Let us know what your questions are. It can be about the offseason. It can be about playoff chances, the NFL draft, guys that are on the team, guys that aren't on the team. We're looking at all aspects of the Buffalo Bills on this podcast. So call and leave us a message. Again, the number is 716-508-0405. We post weekly on Wednesdays. So subscribe to the Buffalo Rumblings channel on whatever podcast app you're using, and download us every week. Thanks. This is Matt Warren, editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com.